Welcome to Fueled by Grace. I'm Pastor Mark Shiver, and I'm so glad that you have dropped by today and going to give the podcast a listen. So hopeful that it will be an encouragement to you, and going to just dive right in. As you know, the mission, the ministry of Fueled by Grace is to encourage you, the listener, or you, the reader, should you be reading one of our many blog posts, that God loves you. Our mission is to encourage you in the dynamic, authentic, real, never-ending, eternal, unconditional love of God. God loves you. You might say, well, Mark, I know that, or Mark, I don't care. But I'm telling you that nothing is more important in your life than having an understanding and having a realization that God loves you. He loves you deeply and passionately. And I want you to know that. My heart burns inside that you would see the love of God and grasp a hold of that reality, and that it would change your life. That's why we're here. And that is never going to change. I believe that that will always be our mission, unless God somehow changes it. But I feel called to preach the gospel. And that gospel says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that. John chapter 3, verse 16. God loves you and me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in our place for our sins. Whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to talk today. I've been praying, God, what would you have me say? And I believe there is a message to the church that is exceedingly important at this time. The question is, what should the church do now? As you know, the horrible, unspeakable, unnecessary violence that was just amazingly without reason put upon George Floyd by the police, it's inexcusable. I watched the video and my heart was breaking. I was grieving inside. I was actually by myself screaming at my phone as I watched the video, "Let him up!" I couldn't believe it. And the other police officer in the video that I was watching was standing there engaging with people who were filming this, and I'm screaming at him, "Tell your partner to let him up! What are you doing?" Folks, it was beyond tragic. I don't even think tragic is an adequate word. But it was tragic. It was unbelievable. And yet that's where we are today in America. We're fighting a virus, a pandemic, and also now this unbelievable event that happened over Memorial Day weekend, and the response in America and across the world as people are wondering, what do we do now? What does the church do now? There's a call and a demand by people of color to stop this. This cannot continue. Police brutality has got to stop. Profiling and targeting and abuse by law enforcement officers has to stop. That is the cry across the land. Now, we also know there are people who are taking advantage of this situation in the streets to loot and plunder. And my prayer is that that would stop, because as many African-American leaders have said, this is not honoring the life or the memory of George Floyd. So what does the church do now? What should the message of the church be? And as I've prayed and pondered, I believe it's fairly simple, really. And it's going to require huge change, I think, on the part of the church. And I don't want to sound critical, but I'm going to sound critical right now. For so long, the American church, the Western church, has been consumed with buildings and numbers and programs. And how do we do it? How do we get the numbers up? How do we do this? How do we look good? How do we look better? I'll never forget when my wife Tammy was still alive, probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, we were at a church in Orlando, and we walked in and there were these squares on the stage. They were white squares, like lit up. And I kind of nudged Tammy with my elbow, and I said, this is crazy, because if you watch television, various ministries, and even the church we went to, everybody had squares, and the lighting on the church, providing that ambiance or whatever it's called, was blue. And I told her, I said, somewhere, some consultant has told all these churches across the country, you've got to have blue lighting and you've got to have squares. And now, of course, there are variations on the theme. There's different lights and different geometric figures. But all of this focus on the stage. The stage has to look right. And I even heard one time that people worship better in the dark. They're more encouraged to worship when it's dark. And so the church I was attending went about the task of painting their ceiling black, and they would turn the lights off. And I thought, all of this stuff is so ridiculous. They're natural, man-made ideas to try to get people to do certain things. And the church has got to stop this. They've got to. Because we are at a critical juncture in the history of America. Number one, the church needs to pray. And I mean seriously pray. I mean, forget the Sunday service and the agenda and the bullet points. Have your people come together, whether you're beginning to meet back in person or you're on Zoom or WebEx or whatever it is. Pray. Cry out to God. God, heal our land. Help us to understand those who are hurting. Help us to hear the cries of the disadvantaged. God, put love in our hearts for those that we can help. Folks, I'm telling you that the church, and don't get me wrong, success is wonderful. And if you've got 5,000 people coming to your church, and they're all people who are coming into a greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're born again, well, I tip my hat to you. But it's time for some old-fashioned hitting the carpet, getting on our face before God. Because if we don't, nobody else will. It is time for the church to pray. And I mean pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Obviously, if you've seen me or listening to my voice, you know that I'm a Caucasian, a white guy, an older, balding, a little too short for my weight, white guy. But that doesn't matter in the eyes of God. And it doesn't matter that one of my best friends in the entire world is an African American. He's an older guy, an older black guy. And yet my deep, profound care and love for this minister, this man of God, is without question. I don't care if he were green. He's my friend. He encourages me. I encourage him. And this is what God is trying to accomplish in the church. And the only way that that's going to happen, or one of the ways, one of the most important ways, is if we pray. Put aside all of the man-made, consultant-driven ideas and just get on our face before God and cry out to the Lord. There's a verse everybody knows, you know, if my people would cry out to me and repent and humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. I'll heal from heaven and heal their land. Well, look, we need that. We in America and on this globe need that. We need to throw all of the man-made stuff out the window. And we need to get on our face as a church and pray. What do we pray, Mark? Well, we pray for God to heal our land. We pray for God to give us wisdom and understanding and compassion and love for those who are hurting. And we pray that God would help us to understand what his very own word says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. And those of you who scream about context, I'm just going to pull this verse out. I'm not doing a Bible study, but I want to read this verse. There is neither Jew, the Apostle Paul was saying, nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What I gather from that is that God is not looking at white people and saying, well, you know, you're better than your black friends or neighbors. He's not looking at black people and saying, well, you're better than the Hispanics. No. Listen, when God sees us, He sees a fallen humanity in need of salvation. And He provided that salvation through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you're white or black or whatever. The love of God is real for you. And it is that love that we need to have in our hearts for those around us, whether they're Latino, Hispanic, Asian, African-American, Caucasian, whatever. Because that's how God sees us. So if you're saying, Pastor Mark, what do we need to pray? Pray that we would see people the way that God sees them. People in need of a Savior. People in need of the love of God to change their lives and to give them hope. I guarantee you that the African-American community has the same inner struggles, if not more, than any other demographic group. Families are worried right now. Are they going to get sick? How can they feed their families? Are we going to have enough money? What does the future hold? They need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need to be on our face seeking God and entreating Him and praying and asking Him, God, heal our land, and God, help me to feel what you feel and to see what you see when I see those around me, when I see my neighbors, when I see the people that I work with. God, give me your eyes to know that everyone needs Jesus. It doesn't matter your race, your creed, your ethnic background. You need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died and gave His life for you and rose from the dead on the third day. And it doesn't matter what demographic group you are in. The one common denominator of every person on this planet is that they need a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And so I'm saying, church, we've got to pray. Not praying in passing. Oh, the worship was good this morning. And let's just take a few moments to pray. Lord, we ask that you'd heal our land. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Now it's time to take the offering. Folks, we need to give serious, soul-searching, deep prayer unto God that He would heal our land and give us the eyes to see those around us as He sees them. Why is it that there's special ministries that are dedicated to helping the homeless and helping African-American communities that may live downtown in cities? My wife worked for a ministry called Clubs in the City, and they minister to kids. It's like a boys and girls club, only on a smaller scale. And they do an amazing job. And primarily, their demographic that they're reaching in the inner city is African-American kids. But why is it necessary to have clubs in the city? Why aren't the churches reaching into the inner city and meeting those needs? My dear friend that I was talking about, Pastor Phil Brickle, he's out more times than not feeding people downtown, providing gatherings for people downtown to get clothing and hygiene and food and to be cared for. He's been doing this for 25 or more years, and I'm telling you, I love my friend Pastor Phil, but why should there be a need for Pastor Phil? There are plenty of churches in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area that every need in the inner city could be met if we cared. It's time that we cared. It's time that we put aside this notion, and you know you've thought this, well, I really don't want them coming to my church. You know, they worship a little differently. And so, you know, I like things the way they are. Folks, we need a complete paradigm shift. Don't you hate that word? It got so overused. But that's what we need. We need a complete shift in our way of thinking. Because I don't know if we're in the last days or not, but it sure feels like it to me. And the church needs to be about the task of getting people into the kingdom of God. And the way to do that is through prayer. prayer is like tilling ground. It stirs up the hard ground so that the seed of the Word of God can be planted and then watered and then harvested. Folks, people are hurting. We know that. The church has the answer. But the church is not going to be effective without deep down in the dirt, on your face, crying out to God. It's time for that. It's time for prayer. Genuine prayer. Lengthy, heartfelt prayer. God, forgive me for preconceived notions that I've held all my life about people of color. It's time that we come clean with the Lord, come clean with ourselves, and change. And the only way change happens is through prayer. Because prayer opens up the door to God moving in our lives, individually and corporately. Well, pastors, I don't know how many of you are going to listen to this. I'm praying that many will, and that you will hearken to this word, to this message. It is time to pray. Have some faith that you can throw out the agenda and get on your face before the Lord and lead your congregation in prayer. Another thing that I think I would say that the church needs to do that comes out of prayer is found in Ephesians 5. My favorite chapter, I think, one of mine in the entire Bible. When I was a kid, I had it memorized. But chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Isn't that simple? Walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ loved us. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Now you see, the reason we need to pray is because we as people can't just start trying to walk in love and expect that others around us will change. You see, we're still dealing with many people who don't have a relationship with the Lord. And so prayer is, again, it's like breaking up ground so that the seed can be planted. So we pray and we begin to walk in love. And what does that look like? It's patient and kind. It listens. It breaks down walls and barriers. Love is what the church needs to be about in this time. Praying and loving. What does that look like? It may be different for your church than it is for the church up the street. But love is the key. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It means caring. You can't love somebody and not care about them. It means caring about your neighbor and people who are hurting. And let me just throw this out. Folks, the church needs to be the last place where all of this unrest is politicized. Now, I have certain thoughts and ideas about the direction of our country, but you don't need to hear those. You need to hear the truth of the gospel, that God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you. And that's what we need to be preaching on Sunday morning. We need a revival of the gospel. Now, that's probably going to be a little harder to accomplish than it might seem. Well, Mark, don't most churches preach the gospel? And sadly, I'd have to say, well, not really, kinda. You see, the gospel is that God has given you a new heart. If you have been born again, you have a new heart. You are a new creation. But so many churches are focused on the old creation. And look, the old creation cannot love the way that God loves, The old creation cannot care for others the way that God cares for others. So pastors, ask the Lord to give you a revelation of grace and the gospel and what it means to be born again and to be a new creation. God has created a whole new creation, and you're part of it if you're born again. And you are part of another kingdom. And Jesus himself is the door into that kingdom. Are you preaching that on Sunday? Or are you preaching, well, now you don't need to be going out and drinking every Saturday night, you know, and, you know, it better be. Look, we've been trying to fix behavior in the church for centuries. And the only way to change behavior realistically and effectively and in a genuine way is through the gospel. The Bible says it is grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. I am saying that it's time for the church to pray, for the church to love, and for the church to have a revelation of what it means to be a new creation. Those three things will change America, will change the world. But now you've got to understand, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not natural. They're principalities and powers in high places. Look, our enemy, the devil, does not want your church praying. He does not want your church walking in love. He doesn't want your church preaching the gospel. He doesn't want you and I walking in love or praying or believing the gospel and letting the gospel change us. He wants us bound in legalism and a performance-based sense of Christianity that goes nowhere. It's time for revival. I said it. We need a revival in America. And the only way to usher in revival is through prayer, through preaching the gospel, and through walking in love. When you begin to teach your congregation that they are a new creation, then they will see, wow, I can walk in love because it's Christ in me. It's his love being fleshed out in my body. It's Christ who wants to give. It's Christ who wants to serve. It's Christ who wants to listen to people of a different race than I am when they talk about how hurting they feel for being marginalized for decades, for centuries. It's the love of God that takes root when you see the gospel, when you see in 2 Corinthians 5 that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Old things have become new. God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself and not counting man's sins against them anymore. When was the last time you heard that preached anywhere? Well, if you listen to Fueled by Grace, you've heard it. But I'm telling you, the essence and truth of the gospel have been watered down. Why? Because our enemy, the devil, the principalities and powers in high places, do not want you, pastor, telling your congregation that God is not counting their sins against them, that they have been forgiven, that Christ is risen from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, the Apostle Paul says, I rose with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When the message that Christ lives in us begins to really circulate like blood through a vein in our churches, then we will begin to demonstrate the character of Christ to our neighbors, to our fellow workers, to the people that we encounter in grocery stores and in traffic, and the love of God will flow through us. But if we keep focusing on trying to change the broken, sinful flesh that will never, ever change, then we're going to be stuck in a situation where we cannot see genuine revival. It's time to pray that God heals our land, to pray that God gives a revelation of the gospel like never before, to pray that God changes us, to pray that he would move and cause for a mighty revival to usher in countless souls into the kingdom of God, and to pray that the power of the devil be broken over our nation and over the lives of people, to pray that God would heal hurting hearts, and to pray that God would give us a desire and a heart to listen and understand. That's it, friends, as R.W. Schambach used to say. Pray, church, pray. Pray like never before. Put aside everything else and pray, and the rest will come. Well, folks, I hope that I've left you with something that will cause you to think and that will cause you to pray. And I hope that you'll give this to your pastor, that you'll send your pastor a link on your phone or on your computer, your device, your tablet, and say, Pastor, you need to listen to this. You know, your pastor is just another person just like you or I. There's nothing, you know, mystical or, you know, you can do that. Pastor, I believe this is a right-on message. If you feel that way, then please share it with your church leaders, with your friends, with your family, because the church must be about prayer now more than ever. And the church needs to be sharing the love of God, walking in the love of God now more than ever. And it is incumbent, it is essential now that the gospel be preached to believers so that they can understand they are a new creation. And it is from that understanding that they can walk in the love of God towards their fellow man, their fellow woman. Father God, I pray right now. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would heal America, Lord, that you would heal this world. And I don't just mean stop the rioting and the looting. I mean, God, may people's hearts be touched and broken over injustice. And may we have a genuine capacity to listen to those around us who are in need and who are hurting. And God, I pray that we would begin to see the truth of the gospel, that you love us. You are not counting our sins against us. You've made us a new creation. And it is from that reality that we can walk in the love of God. And I pray that all of these things would happen. God, I pray that you would give leaders from President Trump all the way to mayors and council people wisdom and compassion and set this country on fire with the flame of revival, Lord. I just pray the revival winds come in from the north and the south and the east and the west, Lord. Bring the revival. May they come flooding through this country and effect genuine change. Thanks for listening, folks. And remember, God loves you. He loves you so very, very much. And until next time, let's pray.